This is Two Blocks from Ice Terrace, and I give you the right to rock.
The right to rock.
Live at Nightmare Studios, I'm your announcer, Joey Clamps, and you're listening to the Genius and Ragman Show, where two Mama Lukes talk about hard rock, heavy metal, drink craft beer, and interview the people who make the music we love. Horns up! Get ready for two guys who are so metal, their doctors are licensed mechanics. It's Genghis and Ragman.
Hello,
darkness, man.
We all fucked it all up. We've already had too much beer, Holmes.
It's silent, and I don't know why.
We're supposed to stop now. It wasn't worth it to begin.
I see a white screen.
Exactly. So I think somebody, believe it or not, is already fucking up.
Is it a shocker, really?
I was going to say, who'd have thunk it?
What, do you got a frog in your throat?
It gave me a chuckle.
Chuckles McGursky.
With the names.
Wait, the peanuts over there?
Got some beer nuts. Dickhead.
Dude,
you need to start the fucking video
thing.
Like a human being.
Why do we do this every time?
I'd like to know. It's kind of a thing. It's not really under my control. It's a thing, right? No. It's your and his thing.
It's not. What
I don't want any part of it. I'm not taking any blame for it.
I'm not either.
You trained him.
It's a thing. It's like a stick. You know, the thing. You know, John's going to forget to turn on the TV.
Turn on the fucking thing already? Run in his mouth.
That would be such a dick.
You're talking about balls. It seemed like the natural progression. Hey, what are we out of here?
Oh, dude.
This already looks amazing.
Yeah, we've been dying to see this. Dying, I tell you. Video of the night. We got some new Shiza. We've been actually playing some older stuff because there just hasn't been
a bunch of new concert DVDs coming out.
And let me
right?
ask you that, because you're the more the expert. You get them all the time. Do you notice that there's like a period, like in the summers there's a lull, or is there like a pattern that follows?
A lot of it depends on my bank account. Because these are purchased with Ragman money.
Oh, okay.
So
it doesn't come out of the big T-shirt fund.
No. I saw this. We're fortunate enough to get the live record on streaming. But, dude, it's like, DGM, I got to see it. I don't want to hear it.
Fuck yeah.
I'm not, and we could talk about that at some point. You know, if you want a live album, do you want it? It almost has to come with a DVD to interest me anymore.
And this may, I hear you on that. This may be the thing. If you're not already sold on DGM, I think this will fucking seal it for you.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because they're fucking amazing.
Okay, so this is a new disc by DGM. First live DVD I'm aware of. Calling Passing Stages. And it's two shows, live in Milan and live in Atlanta.
So, yeah, from Prog Fest.
Power.
Prog Power, that's it.
So, yeah, we're big fans. I know, Genghis, you've reviewed an album or two of theirs on
the
site.
Oh, yeah, they're fucking amazing. Simone Muleroni, the main guy behind everything. Uh-huh. He's just this amazing fucking guitarist, and I think he's also like a keyboardist too, kind of like a McAlpine, but he's from Italy, I think, and produces a lot of shit. And I think it's one of the things he started out in was he had like a Dream Theater tribute band or something, if I'm not mistaken. I may be wrong on this. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so, you know, he's honed his progressive metal chops, and I think that's where he's best. His wheelhouse is smack dab in the middle of progressive metal style stuff, and that's what DGM is really like. And fuck, it's just amazing to listen to. I mean, the singer is really great. Oh, yeah. They've had this dude, for the last 2-3 albums, and he's fucking fantastic. This is the kind of shit that I think when you're always mentioning, dude, one of these days we got to go to Prog Power.
Yeah.
This would be the reason to go for shit like this.
Well, this
bands you don't get to see anywhere else.
This is the Milan show. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, how are we going to see Yorn?
Exactly.
Or Pretty Maids.
These people that
like
never
that.
Come here. Yeah.
Prog Power is the only way. But the fucking thing sells out almost as soon as it goes on sale.
I know, dude. Isn't that cool? So maybe it'll do. See, and I know this. I'm comparing it to the video game space. And that's because there's this this couple of dudes. They have a webcomic online. And it's in the genre of video games. I mean, they're big video game heads. And I've watched them over the years as they were just a little webcomic that they published 2-3 times a week. And eventually, their site grew bigger and bigger. Their fan base grew bigger and bigger. They started selling T-shirts and stuff. Then they did one year, they said, well, we're going to do a conference where, you know, you guys come and see us. I think they're in Seattle or something.
Yeah.
And they said, we're going to have a big show here. So they, you know, rented some space and all that. And fans came from all over the country. And they figured, well, we got so many people enrolling. Let's have something special for these guys. One, they're huge gamers, so video games primarily, but they also do tabletop games like Dungeons & Dragons, that kind of shit. They're just big gamers. And they said, well, let's reach out to some of the people in the industry and see if they'll come and do presentations and stuff and game demos and shit like that. Anyway, this thing exploded. So now they have one, and they call it PAX, the Penny Arcade Expo, because that's the name of their comic, Penny Arcade. Anyway, so they have PAX West, they have PAX East now, they have PAX Australia. They have these things all over the fucking world now because they're so big and there's so many fans, they can't just fit it into one spot. So I'm hoping that one day Prog Power will grow so big, it's like, well, here's Prog Power East, now we're going to have Prog Power West, and maybe they'll have Prog Power South or something, and we'll be able to go to one of these motherfuckers. It'll be closer.
Did we interview a band that they had played like a European-like Prog Power?
Yeah.
So there's one in Atlanta. There's other ones, but just one in the U.S. that we're
I think
aware
maybe
of.
That's the deal, yeah.
But I'll
recall.
Tell you what, the alternative to that is these metal cruises.
Oh, yeah. That's
70
true.
70 tons of metal. You get your hard rock.
Yeah, there's like, yeah,
cruise.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of take it over to where, and I was just talking to Wifey about it, is, you know, I turned to Metal Munchkin or thinking about doing something. I said, well, shit, Genghis and I, it's almost time for us to do our metal cruise. We might need to look into that next year.
Yeah, after our boy who did the article for us, he talked about it, and he made it sound fucking amazing. I think for a while he was going to them every year. He may have tapered off now, but that's only after he'd been going for like a few years, maybe several years. It's fucking amazing.
I agree. I'm looking forward to it.
Anyway. You got one good thing.
No, no, we don't.
Nope.
You guys are asleep in the same bed?
No, dude. It's a cabin. There's separate beds.
Like normal people?
What if you get scared?
I don't get scared. Except of you.
Shit. You imagine John being on a cruise with us.
Yeah, I can.
That would be ugly.
No, it'd be beautiful.
Anyway.
You know, that motherfucker would probably try to roofie us or something.
No shit. Anyway, that guy who wrote the article we're talking about, Stuart Davey. He's the Stew Master. He, Disco Stew doesn't advertise homes. No, he, I think he might be from Australia, as I recall.
I thought he was from Australia.
And he would come, he would actually fly out to Florida, where the 70,000 tons of metal would leave. That's right. And he would leave out of there and then take the cruise. So, I mean, every year he's making this pilgrimage for a few years.
And that's what Wifey and I were talking about today, because her and the Metal Munch were talking about, like, this Disney thing. Disney cruise or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And it's got, like, two stops. I said, that's like the metal cruise. No one really gives a fuck about the port. It's just about the metal.
Right, exactly.
Unless there's bands you'll give a fuck about. Yeah, you'll get off the ship and go do your
thing.
For
the fuck of it, yeah. Or if you're going to stalk one of the guys.
Like, exactly.
I think the lead singer of that band is going to go to that bar.
I just start thinking about today. It's like, you know, knowing you and I mean, if there were enough bands we loved, we would go see them. And I could see you passed out in the lawn chair while I'm rocking.
Just because, yeah, I can't keep it up as long as you can. Sometimes I've seen you where you're just like, you're just still going. I'm like, damn. Like, I got to lay down. I'm fat and old.
Okay, I just clarification.
Dude, we're really trying to get the show started. Can you stop?
Especially for a beer.
He just said he couldn't keep it up.
I couldn't keep up the energy level of Ragman over there.
Sounds homoerotic to me.
I think everything sounds homoerotic to you. That's a problem.
Okay, check.
I don't know what you're checking. Just
yeah, but let's just move on. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, let's play some DGM. I mean, we haven't even talked about it. By the way, DGM fucking rocks.
Oh, yeah.
This DVD looks really nice, too. Mm-hmm. We got the Blu-ray. It's shot very well.
Looks gorgeous.
We're looking at the first show that's in Milan. So I think as we get into the show, we'll see some of the Prague Power show from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, it's just making me jones to see these guys live.
Oh, I mean, fucking, because Simone, like I said, he's like a, he's the Italian Michael Romeo.
The Italian style.
He's all fucking just neoclassical, sweeping all over the fucking place. He's amazing.
I don't know about that dance he's doing. It's like, I don't know what to do while he's playing this solo.
No shit, dude. And I'm tripping on homeboy.
But you got, there's some really good progressive Italian metal bands.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Labyrinth was the first one that I think we discovered.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, you got Rhapsody, now Rhapsody of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
You got a bunch. But DGM was the latest one that came on our radar. Look how nice. Look at how the each song...
Is
they
got a beautiful little title card that you see what's coming up.
Sharp, man. I like
fuck
that.
Yeah, dude. They don't fuck around, dude.
No.
Yeah, real quick, you're right, too. I'm looking up. I just did a search because I bothered to fill out the tags on the articles that I do, on the reviews I do. So all the Italian bands, we got Lycaon, who did Nothing But Death back in 2012. Tearaway did Black Waters, that album back in 2014. King Crow, Rhyme. Hell in the Club, Imperios, Holy Knights, 81 Decibels. I mean, there's so many great fucking bands. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
For a while, Italy was just cranking out.
Oh, yeah.
Not just metal bands, but progressive metal bands. It was great. So, anyway.
First, it was Sweden. Well, not really progressive, but Sweden was a hot spot.
It is interesting. We might have Italy's to chart that in a future show. Just, we know metal is, I mean, it, or rather, Europe is the birthplace of metal for the most part. And it's actually moved around, right? As I guess, as the whole continent's been metal,
yeah.
But it's like certain centers, like for instance, you know, the up in the north, Norway, Sweden, Finland, all those guys, they had the melodic death metal thing go on there. London, England, all that has always been mostly the British heavy metal sound, just different sounds have been in different areas. Italy has really become a power metal, then a progressive metal thing.
I see that, yeah.
Yeah, Germany's really just been straight ahead power metal, and sometimes symphonic metal, they get big on that.
Meat and potatoes.
Yeah, so, but anyway, we can talk about the future. I'm wanting to get in a beer, man.
Yeah, I'm thirsty over here. So, You get a song by DGM you want to throw out there real quick?
Yeah, I know they're rocking The Secret right now, which is a killer tune. But let's go back to Momentum. That was the first album I reviewed of them. They got CD of the Month. Let's do Reason off of that one.
Let's do it.
Viggo Lofstad from Pagan's Mind Holmes. He was on one of the tracks.
Jorn Lot?
Yeah, he was a solo on Chaos.
Nice.
It's a killer fucking album. Momentum's probably my favorite DGM album.
I love me some Pagan's Mind, too. All right, Mr. G. Oh, this is nice and cold, right?
Hey!
What? Which one we got here? A little shoesage?
Yeah, we got some shoes.
A little clown shoes for you. For use?
A little space cake.
Nice.
But I don't know about this one. It says number 7.
Yeah, I guess every year when they remake it, they give it the new number or something, I guess. I'm not sure what their method is. Well, let's look them up. Let's see what we got here so we can give you people the scoop. This, the Space Cake is a IPA, an India Pale Ale from Clown Shoes, based out of Massachusetts, of course. We know Clown Shoes are one of our favorites. This one is 7.77 ABV, Holmes.
Oh, wow.
Its availability is limited. It's only brewed once, so don't fucking ask.
Not once, but twice. I mean... Not twice, but once.
Like you fucks.
I'm all confused over here.
It's like, I don't know what to do. But anyway, we've had it before, I think you said, and it's we liked it. We're not going to lie.
I don't think we reviewed it on the show. I think we've had it outside of the studio.
I'm hip to that. Yeah, I mean, like out in the wild while we're running around.
Like Yard House or something like that.
I'm hip. Well, do you want to get it? Sure. I mean, let me tell you what. Let's.
Oh, here's
as usual, we do the label.
These guys always get a 4 for the fucking label.
Exactly. The labels are always awesome because it's always like a hand-painted or illustrated picture. This one looks fucking nuts. It's got, like, I guess he's sort of like a superhero, this guy, who's got the I think it's like an M on his jersey or whatever, his little uniform he's wearing. And he's, hold on, I got my flashlight here. It's got like an M on it, and he's in front of like, looks like a wedding cake pyramid or something that's on fire, like it's crashed. He's wearing, of course, the clown shoes with his cape and suit. He's got a fucking cake that says happy birthday, I think, and some sort of alien dog or something that's in a spacesuit. All these like
bug-looking creature, alien things are all destroyed everywhere. It's fucking bizarre. But that's clown shoes for you.
Yeah.
Which is, we let that go. One, it's entertaining, but two, their beer is so fucking good. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Let me read the commercial description. This December, Clown Shoes will celebrate our 7th anniversary, dry-hopped with Idaho 7 Mosaic, Citra, Ella, Galaxy, Centennial, and Nelson Salvin, and clocking in at 7.77 ABV. So they did everything a 7, I get it. And they probably used 7 different hops if you count them up. So there's really all about the 7. So let's fucking go for this. We got it poured out. The label's great. Let's give the aroma a try.
Hoppy.
Hoppy, but smells. You can smell the fruities in there. Let's... Beautiful, kind of golden.
Yeah, a little cloudy.
Yeah, a little cloudy, golden color. Nice, nice lacing that doesn't stick around too much. You know,
well, you know, the not first too thick, but not that too. I got has a little bit more lacing than yours.
Oh yeah, a little more head to that. Mine is already gone, so that's cool. So, give the appearance what, like a
3.5,
3.5, and the aroma 3.5.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Let's dive into this baby.
Cheers.
Enjoy over there. Nice.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's good.
Spicy, as you would expect.
Yeah.
Kind of peppery, but...
peppery, yeah.
Yeah, almost like a Saison or something.
Yeah.
But the hoppiness, while normally I'm getting more used to the hops since you've been keep feeding me these IPAs a lot. But it's nice. You can taste a little more of the citrus after a while on the back end.
You know what? I had... what did I have the other day?
It's not bad. Not bad at all.
Oh, I had a, not to take away from this beer, but I had an a Founders all-day session IPA.
Oh, yeah?
I like to start with that because it's, session IPA is a little bit lower in ABV, right?
So right.
I did that, and then I did a Deschutes Fresh Squeeze.
Oh.
Holy shit.
You loving that one?
Combination. No, the combo, because the palate is ready with that session IPA.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
And then the Fresh Squeeze, oh, you just tasted the fucking grapefruit. Sorry, I don't mean to take away from this.
No, but I'm learning.
Beer.
And in fact, what was that one? It was actually a wheat ale, right? The pineapple
the
apricot
Palisades?
One?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was delicious, dude.
I think it was a the L.A. brewery out of Los Angeles. Yeah. Yeah,
it makes sense. Palisades, I guess, is in California, so that's sweet, dude. I like that the...
light.
For sure. I like that the keyboardist is one of those guys. Not all of them do this. He's one of those guys that has the keyboard kind of at about waist level,
yeah,
and he keeps it leaning forward rather than flat, you know, parallel to the ground. He's got it leaning forward slightly. That looks weird to me, like it's going to fall off of the table or something. But he's one of those dudes, and he's jamming it.
It's a dude from Flock of Seagulls.
You love that.
Lost me little feather hair.
And the bass player almost looks like Homeboy from Symphony X. Fuck, I forgot his name.
I know his name.
It's not Mike Malone or
D. It's got a D something.
DeMarco.
Leopold. No, not Leopold.
LePond, right?
LePond.
Michael
yeah,
LePond
yeah.
or something like
yeah,
that.
We talked to him. We showed him a lot of respect.
But I also remember, though, when he came to, when Symphony X played here, we saw him at the House of Blues.
Yeah.
He's a little bit, the word? No, I'm trying to think how to say this. He was a little denigrating about Houston. He was like there at the House of Blues. I go, so what are you thinking? How are you thinking? He's looking around. He's like, yeah, the crowd kind of sucks. And I'm just like, I felt a little defensive, but at the same time, I was like, yeah, sorry about that, dude. I always feel like I should apologize whenever there's not like when I went and saw A Sound of Thunder, I thought they were fucking awesome. They ruled the fucking place.
Yeah.
There was about 6 people in the whole fucking club. Literally.
Whoa.
There was like nobody there, and I felt embarrassed. I'm like, where the fuck is everybody?
I was embarrassed for Evergrey.
Yeah, or like when we saw Icon.
How many people were at Evergrey?
It was
100?
Yeah, it didn't look like a lot of people, and that's the thing.
They were awesome, too.
And for some reason, you kind of feel almost responsible, like, I should have done better and gotten the word out or something. You know, like they're looking at you like, you fuck, where is everybody? And I'm like, you're the band. Why didn't your name bring more people out? I don't know. Who knows why there's... I'm sure there's a lot of factors. For one thing, it's the Scout Bar. And that's for us. That's like the other side of fucking town, dude.
True.
It's quite a slog. It's like going to Galveston for us. But anyway, that all aside, let's finish this one up real quick. It's a good beer. I'd say for the taste, maybe that a 3, 3.5.
Yeah, 3.5 easy.
And then for the mouthfeel, maybe another 3.5. It looks like a straight 3.5, I think.
3.5.
Yeah. It's not killing us. You know, it's not fantastic and blowing us away, but it's not bad either. It's a pretty good beer.
I think last year's was better.
As it is me saying it, I'm not a fucking IPA guy like you are.
Mm-hmm.
So I must be coming along. You're brainwashing me. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm here for.
All right, so what you got?
Well, I tell you what, let's go into a song since we just mentioned Evergrey. We just saw Evergrey here recently.
Yep.
I tell you what, let's pull something off their last record. It is a very, very good record.
Oh, yeah.
The Storm Within. Why don't we do Passing Through?
Nice. Simone is doing a solo. He's like, I'm about to solo your face off.
I have a girl's name, but I don't play like a girl.
That's right. That's the thing. It looks like Simon was going to eat the end, so I imagine in Italian.
Yeah.
Simone.
I like this, man.
I know, dude. They're fucking raging. I would love to see these dudes live.
Mm-hmm. The singer guy's good, but he's a little goofy.
Yep.
He's like, yeah, that's my guitar player. Did you see his face? That dude's amazing, man.
Simone's a fucking bad motherfucker.
I can't bloody hear you.
Yeah, that singer's a little... he's a little animated or something.
That dude's, like, really into it.
You always know the guitarist in the fucking crowd because they're all staring at the fucking fretboard like, what's he doing? Like you're going to learn anything.
Exactly.
Okay, oh, so I should use my pinky on that one. Got it.
Got it solved.
I got a new technique. So I'm going to try it when I get home. No, but for sure, for real, the lead singer is a fucking badass. I like his work, dude.
Me too. And that's, for me, for like progressive metal like this,
mm-hmm.
you got to have the guitar and you got to have a really good singer.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just be, I mean, there's so many in the genre, even power metal too.
Yeah.
You have that cookie cutter voice and it gets stale and stagnant and you're like, okay, next, let's go to the next one.
It's like you all fired.
But DGM is one of those bands that really kind of struck my ear and yours as well.
Fuck yeah.
Is like, holy shit, these guys rock. They're badass. So.
They're really fucking good. And,
oh, yeah.
And who is, I don't know if that is Mark Basile, I think that's his name, doing the vocals. But yeah, I really like his style. If you're not familiar with DGM, I'll say this, go pick up Momentum. I think that's a really good example of their overall sound. And you got the nice... track Reason with Russell Allen coming in. You got Jorn Viggo Lofstad from Pagan's Mind doing a solo on Chaos. So it's a really nice display. I think it says, I'm reading here, it says their ninth studio album, The Passage. Mularoni said, this album can easily be seen as our most ambitious work to date. It features guest appearances from Tom England on the track Ghosts of Insanity and another guest appearance from Michael Romeo on Dogma.
Nice.
From Symphony X. So you've got, I mean, I think they got that sound. I think if I was going to compare them to any band, I'd say they sound a lot like Symphony X. But much more, not so much about the mythical shit that Michael Romeo likes to write about. So, but anyway, they're fucking excellent. So give them a try. So anyway.
All right. Topic. What's the topic?
I was thinking about, because it struck me the other day when I was, because actually today, and that was, I was reading Michael Portnoy's Twitter, and he's going on and on about his son, Max Portnoy, who is also a drummer in a progressive metal band. I mean, the kid's only like 16 or 17, but he's already really rocking it with his own band called Next to None. You may have heard him. Anyway, the new album's coming out July 7th, and he's just he's talking it up. And it made me think about other musicians. Specifically, I mean, prog metal, there's a lot of those guys. But I'm just thinking in general, metal musicians who have kids who also went into the genre, into the industry. And even more specifically, the ones that totally followed in their father's footsteps. For instance, Mike Portnoy, drummer in a progressive metal band. His son, Max Portnoy,
yeah,
drummer in a progressive metal band. Robert Trujillo, I guess, another example.
Yeah.
He's a bassist in a metal band. His son's a bassist in a metal band. And
right,
he's like fucking 12, you said, or something?
12 or 13.
He's like crazy young. And everyone in the band is, you know, same age. So I saw him, I saw a video where they were on some talk show. And they go, hi, where are these guys? And they look like, you know, they're barely up to, you know, chest height on the person interviewing them. You know, and he's just like, well, what do you do? And he's just like, oh, we like playing the bass. Like, well, what do you, kind of music do you like? Yeah, and they're just kind of looking around like, what is this? You know, like, why don't we just let us play? And they're great when they start getting going. Another example, I guess, Dweezil Zappa.
Yeah.
His father, Frank Zappa, was a guitarist in his own band. Dweezil Zappa became a guitarist in his own band. So,
and, you know, I would say Dweezil took more after. I guess he learned, or maybe Vi took him under his wing.
Yeah, because I think he became real friends with Steve, because Steve, of course, was in his dad's band.
Sure.
As he was growing up. So I think he, you know, befriended him and probably taught him a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He plays a lot of very similar stuff to his dad and Steve, because, of course, Steve plays a lot like Frank Zappa.
Yeah.
In that he writes, you know, guitar-based music, and it tends to be kind of almost kind of tongue-in-cheek, some of it kind of silly, but still very melodic and technically amazing. So they all kind of fall into that category. What I remember from back in the day was when, I don't know if you ever remember seeing it, I don't remember what year it was, but there was a year that the Zappa Kids had their own TV show.
It was on MTV?
I don't think so. I think it was on network television, like ABC or something, on like Friday nights. And it was Dweezil Zappa and Moon Unit Zappa. They played brother and sister in some family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you did the theme song to it. And I was just like, what the fuck is this? But I was only watching to go, show me him playing guitar. Just show us like a bit. Because I think I'd bought one of his solo albums. And all kinds of people were on it. I think Vi was on it. So I was kind of into, because I was getting into Vi at the time. And I was into that kind of instrumental badass guitar rock music kind of stuff. I mean, Satriani was big, Vi was big. So, and when I found out he was doing stuff, and his album was actually really good.
Yeah, he had that album, I think it was Having a Bad Day. Lee had that in college.
Was that the one?
Yeah, and I think that's the one.
I think Nuno was on it.
I think
a bunch
Vi's
of people
on it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people guessed it on it.
Yeah.
So,
and
I mean,
it was really good.
That's the thing, I was all about it, dude.
I can't say I followed him.
Yeah.
Much after that. I didn't even buy the record. I know Lee had it, but I dug it. Mm-hmm. I think I had a recording on cassette or whatever, but
yeah, I think I had it on, at the time was cassette, because Having a Bad Day came out in like mid-80s.
I think 1990, 80s. I think, right?
I think it was like 86, actually. No, I think maybe this is 86. It was for Having a Bad Day. I might have had My Guitar Wants to Kill Your Mama. I think that was the one I had, because I remember that his brother was on it. Amit Zappa played on it. Steve Smith was on it. Terry Bozzio. Yeah.
Was Vi on there?
Bo Hill was on some backing vocals. No, Vi was not on there. At least not according to this. I mean, I don't have the cassette anymore. That was a long time ago. But that was 88 when that came out.
Because
mm-hmm. I remember I was listening to it back up in college. So I had it about the time I was dicking around with you people.
Yeah. Yeah, but I remember that's when I, you know, discovered it, because that's why.
And he was, you know, he wasn't like, you know, Vi level, like he could just be like,
no.
But he was doing the tapping thing.
That's a cool
and
shit
he was,
going
he was
on,
good.
Yeah.
He was talented. So I respect him. And of course, you know, recently he did that tour where he's basically playing his dad's stuff.
Zappa plays Zappa.
Yeah, that was
just like Bono plays Bono.
And if that ever comes out, some sort of DVD, that'd be cool to check out, because I bet it's actually pretty cool. I mean, I'm sure he had a lot of guests and stuff.
But have you ever heard much Zappa? Frank Zappa?
I've heard some of it, yeah. Not all of it.
Fucking weird.
Which is totally, once I heard Zappa, I was like, oh, now I know why Vi sounds like Vi. Yeah. I was like, he got that from Zappa, most of all the weird shit he does. It's like, that's totally Zappa influenced, and that's cool. I don't mind.
I've got a DVD that I reviewed a few years back. It was Zappa. I think Vi was on there.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, oh, I kind of want to see that, you know. And it was like a live show. It was just fucking weird.
Yeah. He did weird shit. He was, and I'm sure it was all drug
it's
related
not like
or something.
You watch a DVD and you're like, wow, I never knew how badass that dude was. I got to go buy his back catalog.
That's what I want to see, but I bet I won't. Because whenever I've heard Zappa, Frank Zappa, I'm like, okay, he's playing some interesting stuff, but he's not Vi. I mean, Vi does crazy shit where you're like, holy fuck, how do I play that? But then you see here Zappa, and it's like, well, he's doing weird like lyricals. They're like, you know, kind of like it's talking or something.
Yeah.
And that's cool. You see where Vi got it, but it's like, but I'm not hearing like badass tapping or sweet picking or anything.
Right, right.
So they talk about him like he's this amazing genius that's even better than Vi. And I'm like, I don't think so. I don't think he can shred, I guess is my point. And everyone says he can, but I've never heard him shred.
Oh, Dweezil?
No, Frank.
Oh, Frank, yeah. I think Frank plays on that. He's really good.
He was inventive.
I was impressed.
He was inventive and did a lot of weird shit that no one else was doing on guitar.
On the live show, he was playing pretty well.
Okay, well, that's cool.
If memory serves.
That's cool. Then I'd love to see that.
Well, you know, I want to just bring this up, not to, you know, totally steer off the topic, but, you know, seeing some of these vintage DVDs of some of these bands that you weren't real familiar with, or maybe you caught back in the day and forgot how great they were.
Uh-huh.
I recently reviewed a Plasmatics DVD.
Right.
With some archival footage previously unreleased. And that was one I'm like, wow. You know, I always wanted to get Coup d'Etat, you know, by Plasmatics.
Coup d'Etat, yeah.
Yeah, so I bought it. And, you know, you forget. I mean, Whitney Williams was like the female Alice Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
All the shit she was doing back in the
day. Oh, yeah. She was a pioneer of a lot of that shit. And that was really cool.
I tell you what, let's play something off that record. This is Put Your Love in Me.
Sounds like something dirty.
It was a tender little
No, I'm cool with that. But to continue our theme, though, who else? You mentioned Bonham.
So Bonham.
So Jason Bonham. John Bonham, drummer in a big-time rock band. Jason Bonham, also a drummer in lots of big-time rock bands. So he's totally following his footsteps. So, and I'm not trying to say that any of these guys equaled their fathers.
Yeah.
You know, that they were that good. And I'm not saying they weren't either by the same token. I'm simply saying, you know, it's interesting that they totally followed in their footsteps.
Sure.
As opposed to somebody like, what was it, Laura Harris, Steve Harris's daughter?
Lauren Harris.
Okay, that she did go into the same genre. She went into metal, or at least hard rock like her father, but she's not a bass player.
No.
So there's not that exact same thing. I think it's cool that she's in the business. I like that it was cool that her dad, I'm sure, got her a gig to open up for Maiden.
That's the only way they're opening up for Maiden.
And that's not to say that they weren't any good. They were just kind of generic, fair, you know, metal, and that's cool. I like that she's, you know, getting out there and doing it. That's fine.
I don't even know if she's that's even a band anymore, is it?
I was just going to say, for all I know, they're not. So, you know, what are you going to do? But, you know, it was interesting to see. And I'm just saying that you don't see, I think it's usually a son following a father. Sure. You don't normally see a daughter following a father. And you certainly don't very often see a daughter following a daughter or a mother. That'd be amazing.
Who would you say has the biggest name outside of their parent? I would almost say maybe a Jason Bonham, just because he had his band Bonham.
He's been around so long.
Then
yeah,
he's played
true.
With so many people. Black Country, Communion. Mm-hmm. He's now in the Circle with Sammy Hagar. He played Foreigner for a while.
Right. And you can't say that about, like, say, Dweezil Zappa, except for this recent tour. You hadn't heard from him in so long. You know, he was dating Lisa Loeb for a while.
Sure.
That's about it. You know, you didn't hear much about him. It's not like he was still releasing albums left and right like everybody else. So, yeah, it's a good point. And Trujillo, I mean, his kid's just getting started. Same
that's
with Max Portnoy.
That's new.
So that's not really the same.
It's just a thing right now because the kid played a song with Korn. Or I don't know if he played the whole show, but I think he went up there and played a song or something. I don't know. I didn't watch the video. I'm not a big Trujillo fan. I'm not a big Korn fan. So, you know, I really didn't care that much. Did you?
Not particularly.
I mean, good for the kid.
Oh, sure.
I mean, sure, he has a dream come true for a 12-year-old or 13-year-old or whatever he is.
Yeah, we got nothing against them doing it. And, you know, who knows? One day they may turn out to be the next, you know, big thing. You know, imagine if Max Portnoy becomes the new Mike Portnoy, I guess it's funny to say. But you know what I mean? Becomes as big as his dad, who's been in all these amazing bands, wins crazy award after awards. That's the thing about Mike Portnoy. Mark Portnoy is on fucking drum magazines and prog magazines and rock magazines all the time as like number one drummer and always getting accolades, always doing amazing shit. Everybody's always fucking, you know, singing his praises. I don't know that you necessarily see that so much out of other people.
Right.
I mean, his son, like we said, is too young to have that happen. But Jason Bonham, does he win a lot of rewards for his drumming? I'm not trying to bag on him either, so don't get me wrong.
Well, we all know what your thoughts on drummers are.
You're going to give it to me like I'm the guy. You're the guy who's like, drum solo, let's get out of here.
I don't know. I think he's just got a good rep, you know, a good solid drummer type guy. I mean, for Jimmy Page and John Paul Jones to say, okay, if we're going to carry on with Zeppelin, we want Jason.
That's cool.
Not just because he's a kid. The kid can play.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he's playing with Glenn Hughes in Black Country Communion.
Yep.
Glenn Hughes,
another
veteran.
Legend, yeah.
He was playing with Hagar now. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that Circle? Or do you know much about it?
I don't know much about it, but I'm not.
They're coming. I kind of want to go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's Hagar doing Van Halen, Sammy Hagar.
With the Anthony, I guess.
Zeppelin. Yeah. It's Hagar, Vic Johnson.
I guess my concern is that it seems to me, and I'm not trying to be unfair, but I get the general, I'm very much generalizing. I get the feeling Sammy Hagar is the modern rock version of Jimmy Buffett.
No,
I'm like, I don't really care to see that shit.
I would rather see the Circle than see Sammy with his band.
Yeah, the Cabo Wabos
the Circle,
or whatever the fuck they are.
It's just four guys.
Right.
You know, it's Vic Johnson from his band, the
Wabos. What about Chickenfoot or whatever? Are they not?
I don't like Chickenfoot that much.
I only listened to the first time. I was kind of like, okay.
I've never been a huge Satriani fan. And
You motherfucker.
He doesn't do a lot for me.
He's cool as long as he's not singing. That's my thing. It's
he doesn't do a lot in Chickenfoot.
I'll say that. I agree with you. Because that's the thing. I'm like, it's Satch. Here we go. And then he was just kind of like, burp, 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 burp. I'm like, the fuck, dude? Where's that? I was respecting shredding, and he just doesn't shred.
Yeah.
And maybe that was never his intention. Maybe he thought, you know what? I know you know me as a shredder, but I rock too, and I just want to get in a band where I'm just rocking, and that's just good old-fashioned rock and roll. He's mad.
He's like, fuck it,
he's
not playing.
He's standing on the side, just playing all the time with a scowl on his face.
It was supposed
like, fuck
to be Neil Sean.
On the guitar?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was the original Chickenfoot.
That
it was almost going to be like HSAS, which I fucking love.
Oh, you know, fuck yeah. You always go off on HSAS.
Yeah, yeah, so...
I think I hear a song coming in. I was going to say, here it comes. I see the look on your face.
Oh, God, there's so many on that. Let's just do a little standard there. How about Top of the Rock?
Nice.
Let's do it.
I've taken a lot of lip just to You think it's tough being a kid? Huh, well, try being a man sometime. Everybody wants a little piece. All they try to shoot you down. Well, I just tell them, sit on this and spin around.
This DGM is a shit, Holmes.
Fuck yeah, dude. So, Sammy Hagar doesn't have a kid?
I don't. Not that I'm aware. He does. I don't think any of them are in music or anything like that.
He's got Siamese twins.
You know, the kid that I thought was really going to be huge, that had one big album and then kind of disappeared, was Julian Lennon.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had that one record that was so good.
It wasn't heavy, but it was like, yeah, good old-fashioned, kind of modern rock.
And he kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
And then Sean can't sing worth a fuck.
Yeah, he looks like he's a dick.
Yeah.
Like he's like an overprivileged little prick.
Yeah.
Is what he looks like.
He's talentless.
Yeah.
From what I can tell.
He just happens to have the name, and that's about it.
But Julian, I mean, I know there was that rumor that if the Beatles ever did something, they were going to get Julia.
That'd be the shit.
That would have been awesome, man.
But what about Danny Harrison, I think is his name, or Donnie, however he says it, son of George Harrison.
I don't know much about him. I know he's got the
I don't
kid.
Much about him either. I saw a picture of him, though. He fucking looks exactly like George Harrison when he was young.
Just like,
it's like an old
McCartney's kid, but like a serial killer.
If McCartney was a serial killer. A ginger serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
No, but Danny or Donnie, whatever it is, I'm sure it's like an Indian name. He looks, they had a picture of old, I mean, like back in the day, like in the 60s, young, I should say, George Harrison, and then a picture of Donnie, and I was like, holy fuck, looks exactly the same.
Wow.
So, I mean, they could do like, and I guess I don't know how anyone would feel. That's the thing. I've noticed with Max Portnoy, his dad's really active in his career and helping the band. I mean, he's down there, he's making videos with him, he's tweeting all about him, and I think he like played drums on one or two of the albums, and for all I know, he helped co-write songs. So I don't know if Max is like, Dad, can you ease back? I mean, this is my thing, I don't know if he's just like so excited, like, well, I just want to be part of it. So and his kids is like, fine, I don't know if he's making a news of himself or not. Certainly you can't blame him for being proud of his son and wanting to be all about it, but at the same time, it's like, I want to do my thing,
you gotta wonder too, would they have any play if it weren't for
Mike.
Dad, yeah.
That's it's hard to say. Yeah, that's why you got to be fair. So I think that might even be part of it, is he's thinking, you are helping us get gigs or whatever. I mean, this may be long ago in the beginning. Now they're established. So I don't know that they need his help so much. But anyway, maybe in the beginning that helped a lot. I'm the son of Mike Portnoy.
Sure.
And if you look on one of the, I think the previous album that came out in 2015, I think it was.
Yeah.
It had guest artists on there. They had Neil Morse was on there. I think someone else played.
John Petrucci, John.
Yeah, just people were just like all these
Kevin
people.
Kevin Moore.
Just
all
these
extreme theater people.
That's it. No, but I had other people on there. You're just like, fucking, wait a minute. Some little punk kid band where the average age is like 16. It's like there's no way you would have gotten these big shot artists to put on your band.
No.
So, I mean, it's cool. Like, I'm not trying to take anything away from them. I'm just saying it's.
Yeah, you are.
But you got to wonder, does it ever get, how does the kid feel about it?
Yeah.
It's probably a blessing and a curse, I guess. Let's be realistic.
Let me ask you this. Are you, since it's Portnoy's kid, or just say any famous dude's kid, so say Bruce Dickinson had a son as a singer.
Juice Dickinson?
Juice. Face. Good one, Holmes. That was nice.
You liked it?
Yeah, he kind of came up with that fast. I was proud of him.
He's not. For sometimes once. He doesn't fuck off.
Thank you. Love Juice Newton.
But let me ask you, the question is, you know, are you intrigued to check it out? Or do you really care? I don't really care. I mean, it's not like, oh, after the show, I'm going to go do a search on Portnoy's Kid.
Right.
To me, ultimately, it's about the music. Sure. I don't give a fuck if a robot made the fucking album. If it sounds badass, I'm all for it.
Yeah. If it sounds good.
Yeah. I don't
know.
And then I guess that's the concern is, do you have... Is it artificially getting played because of Mike Portnoy?
Probably.
When if it were anyone else, no one would give a fuck.
Well, look at Nicolas Cage. I mean, just totally different scenario. He changes his name, so he's not associated with his...
Coppola,
name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With his uncle or whatever. The family, yeah.
Uncle Francis.
He's in the Niccolo Coppola, that's probably his name. Yeah. Or something. And then he went Nicolas Cage, yeah.
So, yeah, there was somebody that... I forget who it was. Somebody fairly popular. And... It was Rob Schneider's daughter. Is like a pop singer.
Oh, okay.
She changed her last name because she didn't want to be famous because of her dad.
Rob Schneider?
Yeah.
The actor?
Yeah.
Oh,
Do you Spigolo Holmes?
I use air quotes when I say the actor. entertainer.
Spigolo Holmes?
You're all about it.
So
his daughter is in the music biz.
Yeah, I forget her name.
And that's the thing.
It's a pop star type thing.
That's the thing. You do have plenty of people that are, you know, sons or daughters of... some other famous person who go into the industry, but not necessarily the same thing. So, like you say, he's in the acting sort of business, and she went into music. So, not the same thing.
Right.
And I don't know. I wonder if they enjoy more success that way. It's like the further more removed you're from them, maybe the more of a chance you have to be on your own and prove yourself.
I think it's more of an independent thing. Like, I want to make this on my own. I don't want to live off my dad's street cred.
And I can respect that.
Yeah,
it's a harder road. I mean, at the same time, I can understand it's like, but if you're in fucking high school, you're not even out of high school yet, and you can start getting gigs in big clubs like CBGBs or whatever. I know they're closed, but you know what I mean? Where it's like, holy fuck, we never would have gotten this on our fucking own. Like, why not? And then people come to see us. In other words, a certain amount of their popularity, they owe to that. And I'm like, who's going to turn down more money or more... I was going to say pussy, yeah, but he's 16.
More money,
but,
more pussy.
But you know what I'm saying? Is like, but, you know, popularity, we'll say.
Yeah, yeah.
We know it means pussy. No, but seriously, though, yeah, it's, I mean, who would turn that down? I fucking wouldn't. So if my dad helped me get this gig, I'm okay with it.
Remember that old story with Neiman? He used to fuck with me about the hair metal bands back in the 80s. A guy's just for reference.
Oh.
A guy in college.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, before I get a little bit better and became the rag man, I would get a little sensitive with some stuff. And... so I'd have this dude just like busting on like Dokken or Warren or, you know, one of those bands from the 80s. He's like, I looked at him and I said,
they get more money and more pussy than you'll ever see.
That became your phrase.
That was my favorite.
Your go-to phrase?
My go-to phrase, come back.
And the funny thing for whatever this matters is we shared that roommate. So were there at school and then you left school before I did. And when you did, I took your place in the... at Hotel Beirut. That was the shitty apartments we lived in.
Screaming for semen, Holmes.
Exactly. He was the man, Holmes. Nice guy, horrible drunk.
Yeah. Oh, but good God, Lush.
He was such a prick when he was drunk. Anyway, that's a whole other... he's a whole other character.
CPC, Holmes.
Exactly, Holmes. The cat piss chair. Anyway, we'll get on to... we won't even mention sitting in his underwear eating a fucking pot of beans.
Or fucking...
literally out of a fucking sauce pot.
Light this fart.
And I'm going, what's up, cock? Fucking Steven.
Or
okay.
Fucking studying all your years.
Or the time you told me... I don't know why we're talking about this. The time you told me when he fucking, like, was sitting in the bathroom taking a shit the night after y'all drank your asses off. And he fucking comes out of the bathroom and says, dude, fucking shit smells so bad, I threw up in the tub.
He threw up in the bathtub.
Sick motherfucker. fucking
stupid. You may not want to go take a shower, cock.
It's all stuff that only makes us laugh. Everyone's what the fuck are y'all even talking about?
What the fuck's wrong with these guys?
But anyway, do you know any other? I mean, I can't think of any offhand that are more children of artists like that.
Let me ask you this. Bands that have come out of these famous dads don't have to be metal. The dad didn't have to be metal, but like, say, the band that came out was hard rock, heavy metal, whatever. Is there a band you can think of that spawned from a father that was famous, like a crooner or singer or whatever?
I can't. Maybe you're thinking of maybe the Nelson twins. Yeah. That, now, yeah, he was. That was one of my favorite tunes back in the day, you know, MTV days.
Very good song.
They were real good. They were good songwriters. It was snappy stuff, kind of a poppy thing, and kind of, not really hair metal, but kind of pop metal. And they were talented. Had some good tunes. And the their father was Rick Nielsen, of course, or Nelson, who
Nelson,
Garden Party. Uh-huh. You know, went to Garden Party. He did that old folk rock kind of thing back in the 50s or 60s.
Hey, he's not in the booth right now. Have you seen those pictures of John back in the 80s when he had the blonde hair like the Nelsons?
Oh,
I mean, down to his tits.
Yeah, and just fucking long and straight like he was out of Norway or something.
Yeah.
Looked like a Viking.
Sweden.
Yeah, Sweden.
I was from Sweden.
With that shitty little pubic hair goatee that he had.
And he had his like, prototype of like jocks going on back then.
Yeah. Remember, he was working on him even back then.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
hey, McCheese.
He's get out of the toilet.
How you doing? Don't scramble. I got a question for you.
Hey, Colin, you got down there. What are you talking about in here?
Colin, congratulations.
Yeah, what's up,
Colin? In order.
Yeah. You heard about that, eh?
Yeah, you finally won a case.
Yeah, no shit. You fucked over a lot of people, but whatever.
Comment on ongoing litigation, sir, as well you know. So maybe just, you know, you stick to your little dog and pony show here and I'll worry about the legal shit.
Okay.
Whoa, get a little testy there.
You finally won something, so I was kind of happy for you.
This interview is over.
Yeah, you ran him off. You hear all this?
He knows. Where all these people come from?
It's a fucking open door policy up there, apparently, as far as security. I can't wait till Tommy gets back from vacation.
Yeah, no shit. He's been on vacation for a while. He went to Aruba's.
The Aruba's?
That's what he called it.
I'm going to the Aruba's, boss. And he fucking disappears. Hope he's not in a fucking trunk.
Well, hey, I want to mention another band, or famous band, Sun Combo. And we haven't mentioned this, is a band where, say, a member, established band where a member leaves. And they bring in the son to fill in the role. Because the son plays an instrument that was left empty. That chair was left empty, sir.
So, I mean, he probably played the same instrument.
Yeah.
He'd have to, yeah.
So, Cheap Trick.
Ah.
Rick Nielsen's son's playing drums for him when Booney got the boot, Holmes.
It's not Bunny? It's Booney?
Bunny, Booney, somebody?
I always thought it was like Bun and then E period, like it's his middle initial. Bunny Carlos, and I always thought that was great.
Bun, his middle name's Egbert.
It's Bunford Egbert Carlos.
Which
Eugene. Bumford, Bunford, Eugene, Charles.
Euralius. Is that Greek?
Euralius. Fuck are you? Euphoria.
I'm coming up with shit, Holmes.
Erasmus.
Believe it or not, Cheap Trick are on fire. They came out with their second album within, you know, the second year, so
now
I'm a year here. So I got this brand new thing coming out, or just came out, and I gotta say I'm pretty impressed. Came on the other day, and I was pretty impressed. I want to play this song.
Go for
the name of the record is called "We Are All Right."
Oh, based
we are all right. Surrender, Holmes.
Nice song.
The Rest of My Life. Really cool tune. Let's check it out.
Love of mine, who knows?
Sweet.
Damn, dude, we need to fly to Italy, home.
I'm telling you, dude, they're the shit. I would love to see these dudes live, like Warehouse Live or something.
Yeah.
That'd be a killer fucking show.
Or, dude, fucking House of Blues, balcony.
That'd be awesome.
Like we were for Killswitch.
Fuck yeah.
That'd be fucking awesome. But there's no way they're doing House of Blues.
No, yeah. That's all, we're too big for this, right?
Yeah, why didn't, like, Dream Theater get them to open up? Well, they could, but they wouldn't play Houston anyway, so it wouldn't matter.
They were fucking us. They were too busy fucking us. So, like, we need an elaborate plan where we entirely fuck the whole Southeast exactly. Texas.
That was Maiden's plan until this year.
That's standard practice. I don't know why you were so worried. You were like, they're never coming here. And I'm like, calm yourself. They're going to be here.
Five fucking years, pal.
Sometimes it takes a while to make that great a show.
5 bloody years.
Someone had to sew that blow-up dummy of Eddie's the head to fucking be at the show.
No shit.
Bruce is like hand sewing it like he does everything else. I'll fly the plane. I'll build the buddy fucking thing. I don't care. What else? What needs doing?
I'll make some bloody beer for you.
And he's like, well, we're going to need beer. He's like, I'll brew the beer as well. What else?
Fuck you all.
He's just ticking everything off the list. I'll do it all. No, but anyway, did we mention, have we mentioned anybody who maybe, I doubt this even ever happened. Did anyone ever outshadow or overshadow their father or, you know, predecessor, whatever you want to call it, the progeny?
I can't outshines. Think of it. I can't think of a kid.
They never, because usually I guess those people are legendary, really.
Unless it's like somebody you don't really know that their father was in a band.
Oh, okay.
And the kid got famous.
Right, right.
So, say some, like, 80s band that didn't go far. So, like, the kid from Tora Tora's... the son from the kid from Tora Tora is in, like...
He's Michael Romeo or something. Now. Or something, badass.
Yeah. Something like that.
Or, like, yeah, like the son of somebody is Zach Wilde.
But, oh, you know another one he didn't bring up? Probably... I wouldn't say bigger than Jason Bonham, but Wolfgang Van Halen.
Oh, yeah.
And he's trying to start his own career. He's got a brand new solo record coming out.
No shit.
I think Tremonti may be on it.
Oh, that's because they're big boys, right?
He's in Tremonti's band. Right. So,
but he's a bass player, and not to rag him, but I doubt he's like Sheehan level or anything. He's probably just run-of-the-mill.
But
like,
I think he's trying to make a name for himself. I think he's trying to branch off from his dad. His dad's like, no, I don't like Michael Anthony anymore. So, why you're not English?
I know, and I don't get an allowance, so I need this gig.
Yeah, no shit.
So, no, I can understand that. I think that it makes sense that sooner or later, whoever they are, they would want to branch off on their own.
Yeah.
And do something to make a name for themselves. And certainly, I think it's harder if you do play the same instrument. So right. If you're Max Portnoy, son of Mike Portnoy, it's like... You notice he's in his own band, he's writing his own material, but it's progressive metal. It's the same thing he's probably heard his dad playing all his life. So, and that's not to take away from him. I'm not trying to say that's bad. What I'm saying is it's much harder to stand out as I'm the Max Portnoy. They're going to go, oh, Mike Portnoy's kid, you do the same thing he does. That's great. You know what I mean? Right, it's like right. You're not going to get as much, you might worry that you won't get as much credit as you should or want. So, you know, at least somebody like you say, Wolfgang, he's not a guitarist. Because imagine trying to follow up your dad, who's a fucking legendary guitar player. I mean, he's like practically like a Jimi Hendrix level guitarist in that he's one of the most innovative, you know, guitarists of all time that people emulate for decades to come. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, trying to be like, oh, I'll be a guitarist too. It's like... They're going to compare you like every other dickhead who ever picks up a guitar. It's like, you know, fucking Eddie Van Halen. And you're his fucking kid, so what excuse do you have?
Right.
Why do you suck so bad on guitar? So it's like, fuck it, I'm going to play bass.
Yeah.
Won't be able to rag me then because fucking Eddie don't play bass. So, and then after that, say, well, I want to do my own thing and have my own band. I think that's the way
to
do it.
Imagine being eBay's kid.
Yeah.
That would be
tough. Has a kid, right?
I don't know.
Oh, you haven't seen him? Yeah, he's got a kid. He's like a model. He's like a good looking kid. And he's like, here's my son. And he's just
like Elvis?
No, he looks like a younger version of Yngwie, but like a lot better looking. He's got, you know, he's younger and he's thinner and he's fucking, he looks like he's like an Abercrombie and Fitch model or something. Yeah, he's just like standing there in the same clothes as like Yngwie, but he looks much better in him, right? And Yngwie's just like, I did that, right? Yeah. It's just like, you're already a legendary guitarist. You don't need to fucking go, I made a kid too. He's like,
sure.
So, and the kid, I don't know that he's in the business. So, but he just kind of looks like he is. So I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he's got a band he's trying. But imagine if he did try to be a guitarist. It's like, why the fucking bother?
I think,
you know what I mean.
I think Dee Snider's kid's trying to make it in a band. And when Dee Snider had that show, I think it was on like E or A&E or something. They were very good. Oh, with Gene Simmons' son.
Oh yeah, he wants to be. Yeah, and he's got a band.
He's horrible.
Not that good. Antonio Malmsteen is the son of Yngwie Malmsteen.
Antonio.
So let's see. Is he gonna find a picture for you? Gladys, pull up Antonio and show us. Yep, there he is. Okay, this might be bad. It certainly looks like hey, wait a minute.
But he's got the long hair.
Yeah, I mean he looks a lot like his dad. Let's see. There's another picture. Where's a real good one I saw? I see a lot of them on Instagram where he's with his kid. And it's just like, it's my boy. There's one. He's in a tux, Holmes. It's all, that's my dad, right? Yeah, there he is right there.
So he plays.
He's there with a guitar. But it's like, you know, like I said, you know, it's like, it's why do you want to be on the same stage as your dad,
yeah,
who's awesome? Because everyone's going to be like, you should be awesome. Like right out of the womb, you should be... Because your dad is Yngwie Malmsteen.
What about kids that suck following their dad's footsteps? Like Dee Snider's kid, I don't think he's talented. And I don't think Gene Simmons' kid's talented either.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
I haven't really heard his stuff, but I can't imagine. I mean, let's be fair. It's not like Gene was an amazing bassist or anything. So
well,
that's
no,
not an issue. And even the rock music that he wrote...
He wrote good songs.
They're classic songs, but it's not like they're fucking complicated.
Well,
it's like, you know.
You tried to take it to that level of it's got to be
I can't do it now.
Proficient. Right, right, right.
That's the thing. I can't do it now because it's been done. You know what I mean?
Right.
Rock music, the only way you can really distinguish yourself is, I think, on talent. Like, you know, how fucking like that. It's like, okay, the dude's got talent.
Right.
As far as songs, it's like, well, everybody's written a fucking 4/4 fucking 8-bar blues song or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like everybody does that.
And being an older Kiss fan, not so much anymore, but...
You know what I mean? They weren't breaking any barriers musically. They were just...
They were doing some stuff that was pretty cool back then that other bands weren't doing.
Right.
Not to say that they were like the Dream Theater of the 70s or
right,
the
certainly
Yes,
not.
Something like that. But they were doing some cool stuff, and they wrote some good songs, and that's what they wanted to do, was write great songs. It wasn't so much about being the
technically,
best,
yeah,
technically
proficient or something.
Best.
Yeah, just you're going to have a good time. It's going to rock. You're
but he
like,
can sing. He can play bass. He can write songs.
I think I can.
His
sing
son
bass,
can't yeah. sing.
Oh, okay.
And he's trying to be a singer.
Oh, that's too bad. So you've heard him sing, and he's not good. Huh?
Oh no,
that's too bad.
Bruce Kulick, I guess, as a favor to Gene, let him sing on his last solo record. And I was like, Bruce, what are you doing?
He's like, okay. He's
no
like.
Shit.
I've paid my debt. Get out. Tell your father I don't owe him anymore.
He said, Gene said I wouldn't work in this town again. I had to.
Now let me ask this. Does Ace Frehley have a kid?
He had a daughter, I think, and she was a model.
Oh, really?
I don't know what she's up to now.
Lace Frehley.
That was like in that. Lace Frehley. I don't remember.
Okay, fair enough.
Orbit Frehley Holmes.
Stacy Frehley. She just goes by Stace. Space Stace Holmes.
Stace.
Well, I mean, it's getting about time to wrap this up.
Ooh, to wrap that shit up, B.
Exactly, Holmes.
Classics.
Let's do some classics.
Let's jump in. I got a classic that's going to knock your fucking socks off. Prepare to have your socks knocked off.
Oh, hold on, hold on. I'm scotch taping them to my leg.
Motherfucker, we're seeing the same show. I didn't want to see the same show. At least I don't think we are. Yeah, it's the same one. Oh, okay. Anyway, I'm yammering on like a fucking yenta. I'm going to go with something that came on the iPod tonight. I had some other things in mind, but I thought, wow, nothing better than a little bit of AC/DC. Old AC/DC with Bon Scott. Want to pull something off Highway to Hell? How about Love Hungry Man? I forgot how badass this song was, so I wanted to use that as my classic. So let's rock. Classic over there.
Yeah. How about something, how about Fight? Haven't heard of them in a while.
Nice.
Yeah, maybe something off War of Words back in 93.
It came 93?
Out. Yeah, how about something, let's do something a little crazy.
Let's do it.
It's alright. It's alright. It's alright. I'm just a little crazy. It's alright. It's alright, it's alright, I'm just a little crazy.
You got a pick of Zvik?
The pick of Zvik is a very good question. I know on the recent episode, we opened up with one of my favorite new bands, Oni. They had a really good tune on there. And we also played some Miss May I. I'm trying to think of some other new stuff that came out. We're more of a metal thing, and they're technically maybe more like jazz metal,
mm-hmm.
but Nova Collective has been blowing my fucking mind. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, for what it's worth, you got drums and bass. You've got Matt Lynch and Dan Briggs, respectively. People basically from Trioscapes and Haken.
Oh, nice.
So, and I love both of them. Trioscapes is really more of a jazz metal band anyway, with that guy from, I think, Between the Buried and Me, the bassist.
Oh, wow.
Plays in that. Dan Briggs is the guy. But anyway, they're fucking amazing, is the bottom line. It's the jazz kind of thing where it's like, do 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 do, and a lot of those fucking complex badass grooves. It's all, you know, instrumental. And let me give you a taste of it. How about Cascades?
Let's do it.
Those guys are just, if you listen to Trioscapes and listen to them, it's basically like this but with a saxophone thrown in.
Oh wow.
And you're weird. Like, well, what's a saxophone? That's not very metal or whatever, but
sure,
they make it fucking jam, dude. You're oh, like nice. How is this jamming as much as it is? Because the bass player, there's no guitarist, it's just a drummer, a bass player and a saxophone player. And what the bass player will do is he's got all these fucking pedals and he'll throw like a bunch of like a bass loop in there with distortion, and then he'll like hit the fucking pedal and jump over and play, like, because he's got like a 6-string bass, so he'll get real high on the bass and throw a lot of distortion and fuzz on it. Sounds like a guitar, and he's like, whoa, do like a solo over it. You're like, what the fuck? I saw this one video of them. They're like playing in somebody's house. It looks like somebody's living room that they just moved all the furniture out of the way, and they're just jamming. And that fucking bass player is just shredding, dude. Nice. He's like, they're fucking amazing. So anyway. I dig those guys. Like I said, I know it's not more straight ahead metal, but I'm all about the jazz metals type
shit. Oh yeah, you always you love that more complicated shit.
Oh yeah.
Well, mine's going to be totally opposite of yours. I'm going to pick something off the new Steel Panther record.
Nice.
Actually, I didn't like this record as much at first, but it's starting to grow on me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a sign of a good record. And man, they have such classy titles. Classic titles that you remember forever. Something you might want to get your girl, kind of roll up close to her.
Here it comes.
How about the Poontang Boomerang?
That doesn't put your woman in the mood, you know.
Yeah.
You need a new woman.
Something's wrong. Yeah. I know it gets wifey hot every time.
There's something wrong with her is the point.
There's nothing like a poontang boomerang, Holmes.
Never.
The video's classic. So, guys, if you get the time, you like the song, go check them out on YouTube. It's a cool video. But anyway, thanks for listening to the show. We got a great interview for you. And we want to give you two big
holes up.
Hey, this is Dublot from Iced Earth, and you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show. Horns up!
The wind's crying softly, tears stream down her precious cheeks. The last goodbye to those she loves before the final sleep. The pain is just too much. She can't even face another day. Oh, the past, it haunts her. The scars won't fade away. The tragedy still haunts her. The pain she cannot bear. Tragedy still haunts her, the pain she cannot bear. She wants to laugh, she wants to love, free from a life of despair.
All right, guys, you're on live with Ragman Mono e Mono, with a legend in the industry, a legendary band in the industry, the mighty Iced Earth. We're talking to Stu Block, vocalist of Iced Earth. Hey, Stu, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
Good, man. Good. Hey, take us back, man. It's been a while since we've heard from Iced Earth. What have you guys been up to for the last few years?
Oh, it's been a while that you've heard from us?
No, it's been a while since I've seen a... Yeah, I know John's gone through some medical stuff.
Took a little bit of time off. There was, but between Plagues of Babylon and this album, we took about a three year time off. We had to do some revamping, doing some fixing of some stuff, some surgeries, all that kind of stuff. So we need to heal, right? So, but we're back, you know, ready to rock and roll. And yeah, we got a new album out in coming out in the next few days here, Incorruptible. We're excited for the fans to hear.
Well, how would you say Incorruptible differs from Plagues of Babylon?
It's a different album, I guess. there's different lyrics, different melodies. Lots of differences. I'm obviously there's no real theme. Plagues of Babylon only was half a theme, half the album was a theme, and the rest was standalone songs. But this album is a full album of just standalone songs. We're really proud of them because we got to touch on some subject matters that we really wanted to touch on. And it's all stemming from a really, really true place. And not that the rest of our stuff doesn't, but we were able to really let some stuff go on this. And it was awesome, man. We explored some new territory that Iced Earth has never explored before, which is really cool. So, and I think the response so far has been really, really good. So we're happy.
Oh, dude, I've heard it. It's a very solid record. Well, Stu, let me ask you this. As far as concept compared to a record like you just did with Incorruptible, what do you prefer? Do you prefer doing, you know, a storyline that covers the whole record, the more of a concept thing, or do you kind of like it when it's a little bit more free form?
I like free form, man, but I can't really say that I like either one better than the other because I love doing the themed kind of stuff too, but... I think it's great. That's the wonderful thing about heavy metal is that we can, and especially Iced Earth, is that we can realm into both worlds, you know, and get the best of both worlds. We're really blessed that way.
Oh, I agree. And you know what? I kind of like, as a metal fan, a long form metal fan, I like the concept thing. I think it's cool, but I think I'd like more of the free-form stuff, or, you know, if you split it up, if you're doing a concept record about every, you know, every year or so.
Yeah,
it gets a little stale, you know?
Yeah.
Because I remember when, like, the Priest did Nostradamus, not that that was a great record. It was kind of a shame that was KK's last record with them, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then I think Dream Theater, their last track, I think it was just a little too much for me. I mean, I like it, but, I mean, then you have the great ones like Operation Mindcrime, you know, the Something Wicked stuff that, you know, Iced Earth's done back in the day. So, I mean, it's kind of a, you know, you could go either way, you know what I'm saying? So I'm always kind of curious to see if guys, you know, oh, my God, you know, we got this, you know, it's going to be a labor of love. I'm looking forward to it. And you get really bogged down to it, get really, you know, into the storyline. And I think sometimes in, you know, just as a fan, I think sometimes if the storyline gets too deep and stuff, you can lose a little bit in the music side. I don't know if you agree with that or not.
No, no, no. I mean, like anything, I always lose a labor of love, man. And no matter what you're doing, even if it's songs that don't have a theme or songs that do have a theme, man. I mean, it's all, you got to write the lyrics, you got to write the music. You're going to battle over the same issues, all that kind of stuff. It just doesn't matter. But you're just, yeah, if you're doing a theme thing, yeah, you just got to be able to tie it all together. That's about it. I don't know. Yeah. Either or for me, man.
Oh, cool. I was just kind of curious. Well, let's dive into Incorruptible. One of the first tracks I wanted to bring up to you was Black Flag. I really dig that. Do you have a story behind how that song came together for y'all?
Each song, really bring it its own on each one. So, which was a really cool thing to try and do. But whether I was successful or not, that's up to the fans, I guess. But I think I did the best job I could. But no, I love that song, Black Flag. How it came about was, well, we kind of consider ourselves kind of Vikings and kind of pirates when we're on the road, because we're, you know, traveling, we live this crazy life, you know, and You know, it's the life that we live is pretty chaotic, and so we've kind of had this. There's this thing, there's this thing amongst our camp. You know, we're kind of pirates. We have this patch. You know, we're Viking pirates. So on this album, we wanted to just do a couple of cool songs. You know, giving tribute to the pirates and the Vikings. You know, and when you dive into this pirate story, man, they were it was a pretty hard life they had, man, and they were kind of duped into that, into a lot of the being kind of outlawed. They were promised something by the kings and the queens to help. They helped the kings and the queens, and then the kings and the queens turned their backs on them and deemed them outlaws amongst people and stuff like that. So it was a really interesting story of their plight as well, which is very cool. So so we just thought we'd touch on both subjects, something we were interested in.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I just started watching that Black Sails show on Stars. I don't know if you're into that. That's a pretty wild show, man.
Yeah, we were watching it too, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. You kind of theme it out there, dude. That's awesome. That's awesome. Another one I wanted to bring up was The Seven-Headed Whore. Not only is that a cool title, that's going to be fun to really announce live. Now we're getting into the seven-headed whore.
Oh, God, no. Like someone's mom will be in the audience. Oh, God, damn it.
How did that song come together for y'all?
Vicious. We loved it, man.
It's a killer track, man. A very killer track. Well, let me ask you this. I know John has been the staple and writes a lot of the music. How does the process work within Iced Earth, within the music? Does John come in with finished ideas, or do you guys kind of work some of the stuff out? And lyrically, is John writing, are you writing with John on lyrics, or is John handling most of that?
I'm taking a pretty hefty chunk of the lyric writing and the melody writing for the lyrics and the cadences and all that kind of stuff. And I also help, he helps me, we bounce ideas off each other all the time, man. So the writing process with us is just bouncing ideas all the time. Some songs he's like, he just wants to deal with himself. And some songs he's given me, he's like, you got to deal with those ones yourself. And then some songs we work on together, and then again, on each of our own individual songs, we bounce ideas off each other. So it's a really cool symbiotic relationship.
Oh, that's very cool. Well, within the period between the last record and the new record, and y'all had some time off, and John had surgery, as we know. And what were you up to? Were you, you know, do you ever dive back into that Into Eternity? Do you still deal with those guys at all and record? Or
they have a new singer. No, they have a new singer. They've had a new singer for a while, so I wouldn't go back and just take over or anything like that. So I'm definitely supportive of them and stuff like that. But on my time off, I keep busy doing different things, man. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's all good. You know, it's just we got to do what we got to do in life. You know, on the time off, bills still need to be paid. But, yeah, so just, you know, it's, you know, we just keep busy and just make make money on the side. The wife and I do she's very musical, so we do some musical stuff locally on the side to make some side cash and all that kind of stuff. But you know, we live a good life, and you know, we always foresee for things like that. You know, in the future, you always got to be prepared for stuff like that. So it was no problem, you know. Now we're back at it again, and it's all good.
Well, that's killer, man. That's killer. You know, to be honest with you, after you left Into Eternity, I just assumed that the band had broken up or you had done something differently. So I wasn't aware. I hadn't followed them since you left. So no offense to those guys, but...
none taken. It's just, not a lot of people do, you know, and it's fine. And then, they've got a new singer. Her name's Amanda, and she's doing a great job, I think. They do have a new album, I believe. I don't know.
Let me ask you this, and I'm sure you've gone over this a bunch, but I was always kind of curious, you know, after Barlow left and you became the singer on Dystopia, how did John seek you out? Had he heard of you? Had y'all toured together before? Or how did that relationship come together?
When I was... get Into Eternity, we toured with Iced Earth, actually, and Tim wasn't on that tour. We hired a guitar player, and I was warming up backstage, and John did peek the corner, and he's like, wow, that man, the killer vocals and all that kind of stuff, and he did. I don't think that's what sparked it, but I was on the radar a little bit. And then if you fast forward a couple few years later, Matt was getting ready to leave, and because of me being in Into Eternity and touring so much with them, the owner of Century Media knew who I was, and had shown John a video of me, and said, hey, maybe this guy's got something that you can use. And they phoned me up and went out for a tryout, and I guess I got the gig. John and I clicked, and the rest is history. Here I am.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, because I was thinking when I heard that you were announced as a new vocalist, I was really thinking what a good fit that would be. And you have really delivered, man. Do a great job with the new stuff as well as the old classic stuff as well.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to catch you guys on the last tour you did a few years ago. And my buddy Genghis and I were up, man, they kicked ass. You did a really nice job vocally, man. The whole band was rocking that night. We're in Houston. I don't know if I mentioned that to you. So,
yeah.
Real quick, before we leave the record, I just want to bring up one more track. Ghost Dance, Awaken the Ancestors. Do you have a cool story of how that song came together?
instrumental paying tribute to the Native Americans and just the Native people in general. I think they're amazing people, and it was just a real, the music spoke to John in that way, and John definitely connects to the Native Americans, and I think it was a great tribute.
Yeah, John's very American. I mean, with the Civil War undertaking, Gettysburg record, and yeah, I get that for sure, man. I get that for sure. Well,
beautiful man. They are truly beautiful people. That's for sure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, what's the plan for touring? Are you guys about to hit the road?
We're just doing the European festivals right now, just getting ready to kick off the North American tour, which is going to be announced, I'm sure, soon, and then we'll be probably going to Europe next year again. Seeing how it goes, man. We don't know. Nothing's announced yet. We'll have to see how it goes.
Oh, I got you, man. I got you. Yeah, I would figure you guys, I'm sure you guys are huge in Europe, so doing the festivals and stuff like that is a no-brainer. You know, and then come over here. It's always a little bit tougher to tour in the States unless you get a good package together these days. I really feel for you guys, just the way the market is these days. So my hat's off to you guys for continuing to go on and kick ass and keep playing live and bring the music to the fans for sure.
Thanks, bro.
Well, Sue, we want to thank you for coming on the Genghis and Ragman show here on therighttorock.com. Before we let you go, though, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans?
No, just go pick up a copy of the album, man. Thanks for all the support, and we'll hope to see you in a venue near you. Come out and support the show, and yeah, we'll kick some ass that night, man.
Awesome. Well, Stu, thanks again for coming on the Genghis and Ragman show. We want to tell the fans to get Incorruptible out on Century Media. Stu, it's been awesome talking to you, man, and I hope to catch you on tour, brother.
Cheers.
Cheers, man.
Out our website at therighttorock.com, where you can find music and video reviews along with occasional bits of other metal and beer related info. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Our show's posted on a regular schedule, but we average a couple a month, so feel free to leave a review and tell your friends so we can spread the word. But above all, please check out the artists we play on the show and support good music wherever you find it by buying from your favorite merchants. And that definitely includes the amazing Tracy G. We love you, brother, who writes all of our original theme music. You can find him online at TracyG.com, so check him out. Well, that's it, and there it is. I'm your announcer, Joey Clams, reminding you to drink good beer, support good music, and keep those horns up.